Blog Talk Radio.
PW Torch Livecast is brought to you today by Audible, a leading provider of spoken audio information and entertainment. Get a free book when you sign up for a free trial at audibletrial.com/prowrestlingtorch. And our good friends at Loot Crate, a monthly subscription box service for epic geek and gamer items and pop culture gear. For less than $20 a month, you can get your own Loot Crate every month. Go to lootcrate.com.
I don't know what to expect. Big Show, he's 7 feet tall, 450 pounds, and all of that is coming for me. But I do know what he can expect. He can expect a man that's faster than a speeding bullet. Bam!
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought? Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
It's a spot for peace.
You people, today is Wednesday, January 20th, 2016. I'm your host, Pat McNeil, bringing you today's installment of the longest running weekday episodic pro wrestling podcast in the world. This is the PW Torch Livecast. Of course, your Wednesday intro song is Sport for Kings by Kids on Bridges. They're the official artists of the PW Torch Livecast, and they're still available on iTunes. Check that out. We're coming at you with 60-plus minutes of wrestling and fun, and if you're not careful, you just might learn something before we're done. We are taking your calls right now, 646-721-9828. We are taking your emails, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. Of course, you can send in your Twitter questions to me at RealPatMcNeil, and the chat room is open. The chat room is open right now on over on Blog Talk Radio and on pwtorchlivecast.com. Great to be with you today. We are awaiting the arrival of Nick Dinsmore, who was Eugene in the WWE and is currently the promoter and trainer for Midwest All Pro Wrestling. They have their second show coming up this weekend, and we're going to be talking to him about that. Hey, kids, tomorrow on this very live cast, Wade Keller has Interview Thursday, and Wade's guest this week is going to be Sean Waltman. Sean Waltman, very popular guest, returning to the live cast tomorrow, 5 p.m. Eastern on most of these PW Torch Blog Talk radio stations. So we'll be ready to check that out. Let's see what else we have going on. I think James is putting up today's poll. Now, polling is still out. Okay. Yeah, well, James is going to have to put up the poll on Twitter because we're still having problems with our polling system. But anyway, that's how it's going to work. Our poll question today is who's going to win the 2016 Royal Rumble, and a number of possibilities. But James is going to put the poll up on Twitter. A number of rumors going around. We'll be talking about that, no doubt, during the hour. And let's see what we have here. I might as well, while we're waiting for Nick Dinsmore, I might as well do all the plugs I normally do. So let's get this moving. The PW Torch Livecast is brought to you by Audible. If you like audiobooks, and I know a lot of you do, go check out audible.com. It's owned by Amazon. It's very simple to operate. 180,000 top books from all the top authors. Anybody you could think of, Stephen King, Judy Blume, David Baldacci, James Patterson, Harper Lee, the people who are writing in the name of Tom Clancy and the people who are writing in the name of Robert Ludlum, and, of course, all the great wrestling books, including Mick Foley and Daniel Bryan. You sign up, you get the first book free, $14.95 a month to be a member. Pick out one book a month, any book you want. Listen to it however you want. And if you return any book you don't like, no questions asked, and cancel at any time. Go to audibletrial.com/prowrestlingtorch for all the important details on that. Audible.com, because you shouldn't have to learn the alphabet to be able to read. And the show is also brought to you by our new sponsor at Loot Crate, lootcrate.com. It is a monthly subscription box for epic geek and gamer items and pop culture gear. For less than $20 a month, you get 6 to 8 items that include licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, unique one-of-a-kind items, and more. If you want to order that month's box, you have until the 19th of the month at 9 p.m. Pacific. So this month's box was the alien invasion theme, and you missed it. Good job, because today is the 20th. But you can go to lootcrate.com, look over the crates that they do have. They have a limited edition Star Wars crate. That's $100 with a lot of exclusive stuff. They have a limited edition Call of Duty crate. They have anime crates. They have crates for your pets. They have crates for all occasions, perfect for those people that you don't know how to shop for. You just send them a crate. And shipping is included with the crates, so it's a pretty good deal. It is lootcrate.com, and you enter the code PWTORCH. You can save $3 off of any new subscription, and you can save yourself some money on a box. They ship to 27 countries. That's a lot, kids. Previous crates have included the Marvel Comics, The Walking Dead, The Legend of Zelda, and many more. I know the Invasion crate had some X-Files stuff. It's all good. It's at lootcrate.com. Nope, not yet. Okay, and it's time to talk about the other product that we're involved with. The PW Torch Livecast is presented by Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and website. I'm sure you're aware of that already. Yes, sir. Okay. And, as you know, let me make sure. Let me see if I got my copy here for the newsletter. Yeah. So if you're intrigued by it, yes. Every Monday we do this show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern after Raw. James and I did it this past Monday. Tuesday through Thursday we're at 5 p.m. Eastern. 7 p.m. Eastern on Friday. You listen live at pwtorchlivecast.com. Show is brought to you by the often imitated, never duplicated Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and website. Get your free apps at pwtorch.com or at your app store, and links to where you can find us in other aspects of the media. And there's something else that we offer. Oh, yeah.
Your ideas are intriguing to me, and I wish to subscribe to your newsletter.
Indeed. That's when you go to pwtorch.com/govip, G-O-V-I-P. That is the other way to reach us. Of course, $10 a month, $99 a year. I better make sure that hasn't changed, or that we don't have any special offers going. But that's how you get a membership to the site. That's how you get the newsletters. You can change your membership around if you want the print newsletters, because as we know, print is dead. But you get to look at all the PW Torch newsletters online in PDF files, which is the best way to view them, I think. You get at least 15 VIP-exclusive audio shows per week, including the VIP After Show today, which James Caldwell and I will do after we get done with the live cast. You can get on the ad-free version of the pwtorch.com website. That is a great benefit. A lot of people like that. It's all very nice. And 1 month, yep, still the same deal, I think. Still 1 month for just $10, a fantastic value. As we've heard, you just can't. There's just not a lot of stuff out there that you can get for $10 a month. So be sure to check that out. pwtorch.com/govip. All right, we've done all the commercials. Congratulations, James. I know you're thrilled about that. So without any further ado, let's go ahead and welcome into the broadcast today's guest.
To introduce our guest star, that's what it's time to do. So it really makes me happy to introduce to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, promoter of Midwest All Pro Wrestling and former WWE superstar, please welcome formerly known as Eugene Nick Dinsmore. Well, that was loud. How you doing, Nick?
Yep. Good, brother. What's going on? Hanging and banging, thugging and bugging. What are you doing?
All right. I just want to make sure for our show today, are we calling you Nick or are we calling you Eugene?
You can call me whatever you want, but call me Friday night. It's going to be Midwest All-Pro Wrestling live in Sioux Falls at the Coliseum. Man, we're breaking records at the Coliseum in Sioux Falls, man. Midwest All-Pro is picking up some behind here.
Yes, in fact, that's this Friday at the Coliseum in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. A couple big matches on tap. Shayna Baszler makes her pro wrestling debut against Heather Patera.
Well, it's not necessarily her debut. She's had pro matches. This is just the first time that she's coming back home. It's her hometown debut. She's taking on Heather Patera, who was trained by former WWE legend Ken Patera, one of the strongest men in the world. Shayna Baszler from Sioux Falls, baby. Her debut, hometown debut, Friday night.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and the other match that listed, Jesse Reed will be taking on Jeremy James in a battle of your students.
The first two standout students of this semester. They're going to have their debut match, man. After 8 weeks training, one of them lost 21 pounds. The other one increased his arm size by an entire inch, man. Just training for 2 months with me. They're having their debut Friday night.
Okay. Well, that's great. Let's see. And you will be there. You'll be special referee for a match?
Yeah, the forces between Heather Patera and Shayna Baszler were so strong. We needed somebody that was going to lay down the law, call it like it's supposed to be. And Eugene is that guy that can call it right down the line and not be biased or swayed anyway, no way, no how.
Well, that's great. And everybody's friend Carlito is going to be there.
Yeah, my good buddy Carlito is coming in. I can't wait to see him. He's going to be in action Sioux Falls Friday night at the Coliseum.
Okay, and that's but MidwestAllPro.com is the place to go for all of your...
You get tickets for information at MidwestAllPro.com, and they will also be available at the door, 515 North Main Street, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, hanging and banging, thugging and bugging. I've been up and down, in and out, been town to town, looking like a clown. What's going on, my friend?
Just the usual. You're a little more animated than the character you play. Well, I don't know if animated is the right word, but you know, it's good to talk to you. We've got phone calls, we've got emails, a lot of people wanting to. Why don't we just go ahead and open up the show and let the people talk to you? Okay.
Let's do it, man.
All right. For those of you who do not visit the Wednesday livecast every week. In order to keep things moving, you can ask up to 3 questions. You can make up to 3 comments. You can combine them as in 2 questions and a comment. But at the end of the day,
that's a magic number.
And by order of my boss, this is a PG show. So
while we're waiting for our next caller, we'd like to remind you folks calling in to keep your questions within the boundaries of good taste.
We keep this simple for everybody, and we're going to kick things off here in the 240 area code today. 240, please state your name and town. You're on the live cast with Nick Dinsmore.
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
How you doing, Ryan?
Good. First question for Nick is, did WWE ever have any plans for you to be a heel as the Eugene character?
We tried to turn it when Eugene turned on Hacksaw. It didn't work. I didn't feel like Eugene was a heel character, and maybe it was my inability as a performer to pull it off, but it just never felt right. Eugene was always so innocent and fun-loving. He wasn't a heel to me, so they attempted it, but it just never panned out.
Yeah, you'd kind of have to take it to a different promotion and have like a different look in order to do something like that, I think.
Either that or I have to beat up somebody that they really care about. I'm not saying they didn't care about Hacksaw. Hacksaw is a good buddy of mine. But on the on the list of who's on top and who's on bottom, we definitely weren't on top. You got to beat up somebody that the people love to get the people to hate you. You can't just beat up somebody that they like. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But that probably wasn't going to happen at that point. So.
No.
I understand. You know. Why it didn't work. I mean, Hacksaw is a great man, but he wasn't treated like he didn't have the full love and respect that he had had 15, 20 years previously.
We should have won the World Tag Team titles, though. Hacksaw and I should have won the World Tag Team titles and went all the way to Mania. That would have been the longest gap between Mania appearances ever. Hacksaw, Jim Duggan. I love the idea that we pushed for it and it just didn't materialize. It was almost there. Can you imagine that story? The story of Hacksaw. Thinks his career is almost over and comes back to win the tag titles at Mania. He's never won the tag titles. He's the longest person between Mania appearances. It would have been phenomenal.
Yeah, that would have been something. All right. All right, Ryan. Next question.
Okay. Second question is, do you have any funny stories of playing the Eugene character outside of wrestling, like in public places such as restaurants, malls, or wherever you may be?
We were walking into a building one time. It was Eugene and William Regal. A woman was walking in front of us, and William goes, what does a gentleman do, young Eugene, when a woman goes to walk through a door? I opened the door for her, but there was a potted plant right next to the door, and I uprooted this potted plant and gave it to her like it was flowers, but I held the door for her. And Regal just started to giggle because I've got like this uprooted plant and Eugene's innocent look on his face like he's doing the right thing.
Fantastic. Okay.
And my final question is, have you ever been in a movie based on your acting background?
What acting background? No. Well, we did one movie. There's a movie called The Tour, The Blunder from Down Under. Carlito was in it. I was in it. Rob Conway, Gene Snitsky, Big Man Ali, Chris Masters. We all went to Australia and filmed the movie. And it plays on TV in Australia. You can get it on Amazon.com, The Tour, The Blunder Down Under. But I've never done a movie other than that.
So it was like a remake of The Magnificent Seven, is what you're saying.
Not even close. One flew over the cuckoo's nest, maybe.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Thanks, Pat. Thanks, Eugene.
Thank you, my friend. Take care.
Okay. No problem. Hey, Ryan drops off, and that opens up a line for you at 646-721-9828. TWTorchLivecast@gmail.com is the other way to reach us. Let's see. Chat room is open, and if anybody has something in the chat room, of course, we'll take that for them. This is a question. Actually, we have an email question, and it's addressed to both of us. So if you're ready, we can take a stab at that. This is from thank you. This is Brian from Charlotte who says, does it really make sense to turn Finn Balor heel and have him form the Balor Club? He is the most over babyface in NXT. I think it would be better if he feuded with AJ and his old stablemates on the main roster. I think that could be part of the plan, but I don't know that, you know, because WWE is light on top heels at the moment, I don't know that they plan to take him right to the main roster, although that certainly should be a consideration right now. What do you think there, Nick?
Well, the fact of the matter is, WWE can make anything work that they want to work. They can, you know, they can take the mask off of Kane and the people believe it. They can put the mask back on and the people believe it. So if they want Finn Balor top babyface, top heel, it doesn't matter. They can make it happen. They have that magic. Finn Balor is the most experienced. So if he's in NXT, I want him working with all the guys on the other side now. He's already been a babyface and he's elevated all those heels. Now he's going to be a heel and elevate all the babyfaces. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, you were a trainer in NXT for about a year there.
A little over a year and a half, man. It's an awesome experience. The Performance Center is I've never seen anything like it. Apparently, Triple H went to the New York Giants training facility and patterned, you know, a facility after that. It's immaculate.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Man, living in Florida was awesome. You know, just all the knowledge there. I got so much better as a performer, as a trainer, you know, as a businessman, everything. Just working there, man.
Yeah, I watched the series Breaking Ground, which is based on what happens on the Performance Center, and I think maybe the best way to do that show would be to have the camera follow William Regal around all day and, you know, and absorb what he's saying and telling these kids.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's a wealth of knowledge.
Yeah. Let's see. Okay, we got signaled from the chat room. Hold on. Chat room question from our man, Chicky Singer. Nick, did WWE ever send you on a promotional appearance at the Special Olympics? Because they've been doing that these past several years, you know, having wrestlers, working with the Special Olympics, that is.
Well, when I was on TV, they didn't, there wasn't the campaign that they have now to really unveil the curtain and show everybody exactly what kind of good things that they do. We didn't do that back then. It was more, you know, we did all those things, but we just never talked about it. And it was something that I would have loved to have been able to do. I would love to be able to do now, but it didn't happen at any time while I was there.
Okay. That makes sense. 646-721-9828, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com is the other way to reach us. I think the best part of your run was your work with William Regal, in fact. Because you had Regal who was supposed to be a villain but just couldn't bring himself to be mean to you and started liking you and you guys became friends. How important was Regal to getting that storyline over?
Oh, he was essential. He was everything. You know, it was a beautifully written and beautifully performed story of you know, a boy chasing his dream and a grizzled old vet having a ray of sunshine one day in his life. You know what I mean? He showed emotion. Eugene grew. Without him, I never would have got as over as I got. Absolutely.
Okay. You also had the opportunity to wrestle Shane and Vince McMahon in a handicap match on Raw. Let's see. I mean, I know you probably had matches that were more technically sound, but what was that experience like? How do you deal with Vince working through a match with Vince McMahon as opposed to anyone else?
Well, hell, you just got to take care of him. You don't want to stiff the boss. But at the end of the night, Eugene got the win. It was incredible. I mean, it was a whole process all day long. They poured green paint on my hair in the first segment, and I had to sit there for 2 hours of Raw with green paint drying in my hair. And then they put my head in the toilet. And then Vince McMahon took Eugene out in a handicap match, and somehow DX comes out, and Eugene goes out on top. It's a great story.
That was definitely a moment there. Before you ever made it into WWE, you were working for World Championship Wrestling. You're primarily a guy who showed up for the TV tapings and got beat. Now I'm trying to remember the story. Did they tell you after you'd been hired by WWE that they were still interested in you?
No, it was. I got called in to do about 13 shows. Terry Taylor was booking WCW at the time, and I fed him, and he called me to do a couple shows. He got released by WCW, went to WWE, and he ended up offering me my first developmental deal in December of 1999.
Okay, and then you were in OVW.
And then at the Performance Center, when I was a coach at the Performance Center, I coached right next to Terry Taylor. We had a desk right next to one another, so it was awesome. Came full circle.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. So you were on Thunder, Nitro, WCW Saturday Night, all of the exciting shows. What are your memories of working there? This was during the point where WCW was starting to come unglued, I think, in late 98 and early 99.
Oh, no, but the ratings, they were still on top, man. And it was, I remember standing. But it was maybe Syracuse, New York, right? In the middle of the ring, and just the lights and people just going crazy and just sold out, And I think I was 23 years old at the time, and I had no idea what I was doing. And it was incredible to be a part of that, although I was only a part for a short time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you got to wrestle Scott Steiner. I know that they're all good wrestlers. Was there any match in there that was more memorable than the others?
I mean, the Scott Steiner one was because that was on Nitro, and that was a big one. That's when the ratings were high, and I got seen in the first hour of Nitro, which was awesome. I wrestled Wrath as well. I believe that was on Thunder. Biller was on Thunder. Juventud Guerrera. I wrestled Juventud on Saturday night. I mean, I wrestled Norman Smiley, ended up coaching with Norman Smiley at NXT. So, man, it was like, it was really cool. I don't know that one match stands out more than others. It was just an awesome experience, awesome part of my career.
Okay, so your time in NXT, and you were pretty much a trainer in OVW for a while, but your time there led you to decide that you're going to, after you moved to South Dakota, you wanted to start your own training center and wrestling promotion.
Oh, man, this is something I've been wanting to do for a long time. I mean, this has been the goal. I knew I was going to end up in South Dakota, and I knew I was going to end up running a training center because there's nothing like this here. My wife is from South Dakota. She is the 2016 Mrs. South Dakota. She's going on in September to Las Vegas to compete in the Mrs. America contest. I mean, it boggles my mind that I've been in every small town across the United States where that has an independent promotion. And Sioux Falls, the best little city in America, mind you, Sioux Falls doesn't have one.
Right.
It's like, it's like it's time or something. I don't know, but Midwest All-Pro is kicking up dust and turning heads here in Sioux Falls.
Yeah, I know the AWA ran shows in the Dakotas back in the day, but I don't think anybody, I don't think there's any been any regional group that runs it on a regular basis. You've got you're going to have a monopoly there.
There's a good group in Winnipeg. There's a good group in Minneapolis. There's a good group down in Omaha. So it seems like it's going to be a crossroad, and maybe we'll see some good action out of it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you've got through, how many classes have you gotten through? I know you're in the middle of a class right now.
Actually, we just finished the first semester. I'm starting a new semester, Monday, January 25th. Again, if you want to sign up, we're information on the class is MidwestAllPro.com, and it starts January 25th. So, I mean, it's growing, man. It's just, people are starting to take note around here. We had a big write-up in the Sunday paper here, the Argus Leader, great article. I'm currently trying to find a particular TV station, and I can't find it because I have to do 5 o'clock radio, my bad, 5 o'clock drive time, not drive time, the news, you know what I mean, 5 o'clock news.
Yeah. Okay, so you're part of the news tonight.
Yeah, man, I'm gonna be on the 5 o'clock news, promoting Midwest All Pro, hanging and banging, brother. Trying to keep the hustle on, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I understand that. You've done the training part. What's the part that surprised you most about starting your own promotion in terms of how difficult it was or how easy it was?
Well, you gotta think. You know, my time in OVW, I helped run the shows there. My time in NXT, I help run the shows there. I help produce the TV. You know, I help all across the board. So, I mean, I've had 12 years of experience of this. Some of the things that are different is I'm basically on the street every day selling my product, going into places, putting up, you know, posters, meeting the community, because a portion of every ticket sold at the Coliseum are going to go to a local charity in Sioux Falls. I want to keep that money within the community. So,
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Our Lady of Guadalupe Church is the charity that we're going to donate to this time. It's just important to me to get to know the other men and businessmen and businesswomen in the area.
Well, no, that's how you start it. But I mean, it's you know, when it's your money involved, that makes it different.
Well, absolutely, man. But you can't take it with you, you know. I was sitting on a beach every day in Florida, you know, and I could have stayed there, could have retired, but I packed up and I moved to Sioux Falls. It's currently, it's been below zero all week. I've got a foot of snow in my front yard for the past 2 months.
Awesome. I moved back to South Carolina. We actually had it snowing a little while ago, but you're not going to get a foot of snow here at any point. Let's see. Question for the camera.
I'm going to tell you something, man. The people of Sioux Falls are so resilient. I got to give it up to the men and women that moved the snow. 18 inches. 18 inches of snow went in 24 hours, right? The kids didn't even miss school. I mean, they had the roads cleared. The roads were dry. It was insane the way that these people can transform and move that snow. And my hat's off to them, man. It's a resilient bunch of people that are dying for some wrestling action, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I used to live around Washington, D.C. You get 2 inches of snow, the government shuts down. I'm not kidding. They can't, you know. But yeah, I mean, South Dakota, where they're more used to it, yeah, I can definitely. You couldn't. I mean, if you shut down every time there was snow, you wouldn't be able to do anything.
Yeah, man. It's awesome here, brother. Best little city in America. 47th fastest growing city in the country.
47th? Okay.
47th fastest growing city in the country. That's right.
All right.
2% unemployment rate. 2% unemployment rate.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I'll have to.
I mean, this is like a hidden gem in the United States, brother. I'm telling you.
Okay. The question from the chat room. Do you consider your match against Chris Benoit to be your best match?
Well, which match against Chris Benoit? Nick Denver wrestled him in the Louisville Gardens. Eugene wrestled him on Monday Night Raw. But the fact of the matter is well, who's to judge what a best match is, you know? I don't think that any of my matches were a best match. I've got favorite matches. I've got favorite, you know, points. Both the matches with Chris were very important to me, you know, as was the time that I was in the ring with The Rock. When I was in the ring with Hulk Hogan, when I was in the ring with Triple H or John Cena, or even the time that I pinned Vince McMahon, they were all important to me, man. I cherish all those memories and all those times that I got on Monday Night Raw in a WWE ring, in a WCW ring, in a USWA ring, in a OVW, in a Midwest All Pro ring, brother.
Well, there you go. Okay, but what is your favorite? Which one's your favorite, though?
A lot of them that I have with Conway, because Rob Conway, because he's the only one that he knew what I was thinking, and I knew what he was thinking all the time, and we just worked so well together. My matches with Doug Basham were I thought some of my favorite matches. You know, of course, wrestling with Triple H was you know, on SummerSlam when you're on there with Triple H or SummerSlam with Kurt Angle. I mean, it's just mind blowing. Being in the ring with The Rock. I mean, they're all my favorites. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. What about you and Rob Conway teaming together as Los Conquistadores? That must be the fulfillment of a dream.
Yeah, that was it was, man. It was fun. Kind of cut up a little bit and be the Conquistadores for one night. That was a good time. Absolutely.
Okay, we are talking with Nick Dinsmore, Eugene from WWE, and currently of Midwest All-Pro Wrestling, 646-721-9828, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. Okay, the Twitter poll went up asking who you think is going to win the Royal Rumble on Sunday. Let's see. Hayward Lackey says Triple H. Let's see. Joel Tesh says, I think, Triple H. Mike Bishop says Kevin Owens. Okay, that's a possibility, I guess. VPW2 Dojo says Santino Marella will win it like he should have done a few years back. There's a good idea there. Who have you kept in touch with since moving up to South Dakota?
I've kept in touch with a handful of people here and there. You know, a little text, little comedy every now and then, telling some jokes. But you know who I think is going to win the Royal Rumble?
That
would be South Dakota's own Brock Lesnar.
Well, he'd definitely be a good choice for that. I think that would be, you know, I would not mind seeing Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar again at WrestleMania, because that was a great little match before we had interference there. Actually, let's go back.
And that
would
be the time that you bring. And that would be the time that you bring back Seth Rollins, right? Recreate the whole thing. Bang! Boom!
Well,
money.
If Seth Rollins can walk under his own power, that might be a possibility. We're going to go to the 773 area code 773. Please state your name and town. You're on the live cast with Nick Dinsmore.
Boris from Chicago.
How you doing, Boris?
Is this the infamous Eugene? I was just thinking out loud. I mean, I didn't get in at the beginning. Of with
it's
the intro and stuff like
yeah.
that. It's just the infamous Eugene.
yeah, brother, I'm here. What's up?
It is good to hear
You're in
from
person.
You. I mean, because I just thought about how his character, you know, was able to stand out back in the day, and there's a lot of characters like him now that don't get to stand out. And I want his thoughts on how the WWE, you know, treat the Damian Sandows and the Slaters and Axels, and go down a list of, you know, characters that are not considered. What is that word? We don't use it often, only for specific people now, like the Roman Reigns and the John Cena, main eventer.
Well, the fact of the matter is that some performers aren't as good as others. The reason Eugene gets pushed, A, is because it's a good story, but B, because it's a good performer. The reason Roman Reigns gets pushed is because he can handle it. A lot of guys can't handle it. John Cena can handle it. You know what I mean? So I mean, I don't look down to those guys, but they get their run, man, and they'll be golden.
Okay, so
what do you think, Pat?
I don't really understand the question per se. I mean, is the question why are some? Is the question how do they treat their lower card guys?
Yeah, they don't even look at
them
as main event at this point in time.
Well, no, they don't. I mean, about...
Well, you can only have one main event. You know what I'm saying? Of course they're not going to be main eventers. Not everybody gets to lead the train wreck. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, so the question is, Boris, I guess, who would you like to see as main eventers, knowing that the people who aren't main eventers are, you know, knowing the people you don't choose are not going to be main eventers?
I want to see Eugene as main eventer, is who I want to see. I mean, I got
well,
a lot
of
buddies.
Well, I wanted to see you
buddies,
as the main event, too, Eugene. I wanted
I'm
to see
you
as the main
you know
event,
mean?
Too, back
I told,
then.
I told,
you know?
Pretty close there.
I told him that I would come back and go over in the Royal Rumble to go to Mania, but that's all I wanted, you know. I just wanted the two pay-per-views, nothing else, you know. My lawyers told me not to talk about it, but I can either confirm or deny that, that there's any current, you know, contract negotiations going on. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. All right. We've heard it here first, directly from Eugene.
Well, my fantasy booking to win the Rumble would be Kevin Owens. And I don't have any, you know, I don't have no confidence in that. I don't have no confidence, but that will be my Royal Rumble pick is Kevin Owens winning the
Rumble.
Okay,
so your WrestleMania main event would be Roman Reigns versus Kevin, well, big Kevin Owens versus Roman Reigns?
No.
Okay.
You going to put that in Dallas? You going to put that in Dallas? Is that what you're telling me? You going to put that in Dallas?
I'm on the side of the Kevin Owens versus Brock Lesnar.
Okay, well,
which will never happen, probably.
You're crazy.
Huh?
Well,
that's an entirely different conversation there, Nick, whether Boris is sane or not. all right, so what
was
that?
Hey, Pat, my man, I got to go into the 5 o'clock news, brother. Time for me to go to the news, okay? I appreciate talking to you.
All right, so
Friday night, Midwest All-Pro. Eugene Dinsmore is the Twitter, at Eugene Dinsmore, at Midwest All-Pro. Hanging and banging, thugging and bugging. Pat, I'll speak to you soon, buddy.
Okay.
Have a good
Thanks
one.
Thanks a lot, Nick. Yeah. Call back. Yeah. Okay. Nick Dinsmore, ladies and gentlemen. All right. So, Boris, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. I know this is Royal Rumble weekend, but can I throw in a question from New Japan?
I don't see why not.
I got the network and I've been watching it and, you know, allegedly losing these stars, they pretty much have moved forward pretty good, you know, with what I've been seeing and hearing, how they handled, you know, AJ Styles leaving and Kenny Omega coming. It's beautiful how they've been able to, you know, rebound from what's going on over there. I'm looking at how WWE is handling it, and yet we still, I know this is the Roman Rumble, I call it. But
right.
if you could use the injuries and push existing people, how would you do it? As in, like, the way New Japan is doing with Kenny Omega and some other stars.
Oh, my gosh. That's a great question. And, I mean, you're replacing, you know, I mean, they still have enough people to call themselves to have a Bullet Club, and they could drag in one or two people back in. They have Noah, which is, you know, which they also own and work with. They could bring up a couple people from Noah. I'm sure that I know we've had Lance Hoyt and Harry Smith on there. I'm sure they wouldn't mind. That's kind of what you do. I mean, they have enough talent. I mean, it's not that the talent's irreplaceable. I mean, the big part of losing the talent is, Nakamura, you don't want to lose in any circumstance, but, you know, you're losing your top American bad guys. And so you need to elevate a Kenny Omega. You need to move Hoyt and Bulldog in there. I would have to look up what's coming from them because I haven't really kept track of anything since after the first week of January. Be honest with you, with what they're doing.
No.
Yeah, but let's see. Well, they have Jim Ross now. I mean, business is going to pick up.
Oh, that is an awesome surprise. I don't have access, but that's still something because it's possible maybe that he might do a live event, which I'm hoping. You know.
Yeah, I think that would be great. Let's see here. I'm trying to look and see if anything's going on. Okay, New Japan. New Japan's Fantastic Mania is what they're in the middle of. Okay. They got Mystico. Or at least they brought him in. Let's see. Okay, Full House. Yeah, okay, that's... I'm looking at some of these. Okay, they're using the Mexico guys right now, but I'm looking at some of the... let's see, and it looks like Nakamura wrestled on the 17th, and... He lost in the tag match. So let's see. Okay, see, but it's Tanahashi. It still looks like it's Tanahashi and Okada, at least for now. I'm not seeing anything on there that I'm terribly excited about at the moment, though. You know, I mean, but it's going to take a while. It's going to take a while to
But you, at least you see the restructuring. And my thing is with WWE, I don't see the restructuring. I don't at all. I mean, because the first thing I thought when I did see Damian Sandow back in his original, you know, his original gimmick, my first thing was, man, if this dude was able to get the push in the Royal Rumble, which we all, you know, the fans really like Damian Sandow, if they had the confidence to push him, I think he would actually, you know, he would get cheered more than Roman Reigns. So go ahead.
He's not even on Superstars, Boris, which means he's either been injured or WWE doesn't think enough of him to put him on any of their TV shows. Yet he's there and they keep bringing him in.
And that's why I was thinking if he wasn't injured and if this dude did get screen time by him being off screen for a while, he would get a giant pop, especially if you go back to the original gimmick, which everybody really loved. And I just see them not pushing him because anybody that would get any type of pop would interfere with the Roman Reigns push. You know what I'm saying? That's my feeling.
Well,
what's your take on the Roman Reigns push and people that might get a better pop than him and actually distract from that? Thanks, Pat.
Well, there's a lot of – I mean, there are going to be people who are going to – you know, I mean, Ambrose is going to get a big pop. Owens is going to get a big pop. Anybody they bring back, I mean, one of the rumors is that Randy Orton is cleared and ready to go. If Daniel Bryan comes back, obviously you can get obviously the surprise returns are going to get a big pop. The question is whether after they've done their deal, whether fans are still into them or they're just happy to see them for a few minutes. Oh, and I picked up an idea from another site which just sounds awful. You know, the Rumble goes to number 30. And the music hits and it's Damian Bryan Dow.
Oh boy,
that would be expert trolling by WWE.
God, that would be terrible. Yeah, that's instant heel right there.
I can see them doing that though. I mean, this is the sort of thing I can see. Yeah. This is the sort of thing I can see them doing though.
But see, you don't want to slap the B, right? Because then everything in his way will
they
be.
Do it all.
We'll have the...
They seem to like doing it. I mean, at this point, with as many guys down as they have, I wouldn't be, you know, I wouldn't be trying to jerk the fans around. But that's
right.
Me.
So
anyway,
what's
fine.
Your
they're,
prediction?
They're fine.
I'm sorry.
Because they're fine. They've got Kane who can main event house shows. They've got Sheamus. And you know, what else do they need?
What's your prediction for Rumble?
If it were me, I would have done Brock. I'd either have Reigns win it somehow, and then Lesnar somehow earns the title shot, so they can face off again at WrestleMania, or just have Lesnar win it outright. Right now the Vegas odds are with Triple H coming out either at number 30 or at number 31, and winning the Rumble and screwing Reigns out of the title, and that seems kind of likely, you know. That sounds like something WWE would do. Plus, you're looking at this show. Look at this show in terms of attendance. This is going to set the attendance record. This is going to break Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant. You think that somebody in the front office wants the main event of that show to be Roman Reigns and Triple H, setting the all-time attendance record? Yeah. See. There you go.
Yeah.
All right, Boris.
We got
people who want to talk. So
okay.
I'm going to let you go. I'm sorry to do it.
I'm going to sit my chair back and listen.
Okay. Good luck, Boris. Thank you. 646-721-9828, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. We'll talk about the Rumble here for a minute. I will. I'm going to try to answer some of the questions people had from Eugene because I didn't know he was leaving that early. It was a nice surprise. Let's see. Chicky Singer asks, who told you were doing the Eugene gimmick in WWE? Was it Vince or someone else? Actually, believe it or not, Eugene and Rip Rogers came up with the gimmick. It was based on an autistic kid that Rip Rogers knew from the Louisville area, and Eugene pitched it to Vince, and they ran with it. So this was his idea that he came in with. because they had decided to bring him up to the main roster, and then they didn't have any ideas for him at that moment, so they just asked him what he wanted to do. Brian Hamilton asks, I felt WWE greatly botched the character. There was a great opportunity to have Eugene reveal he was not really an idiot savant, but supremely intelligent, and he could have become a heel world champion and held the belt hostage for Eric Bischoff. Do you think such a heel turn would have worked? I think that they felt very uncomfortable with the idea of doing that, with the idea being that Eugene had pretended to be mentally underdeveloped for 2 years, and that was something they really wouldn't want to do today in the PG environment. That maybe could have worked. It's going to be kind of hard to get people to cheer him again after that, though. I don't know. I think it's something that I'm actually surprised that they didn't try it. Does that help? Okay, let's go back to the phones and see who wants to talk about the Royal Rumble. We're going to go to the 718 area code, 718. Please state your name and town. You're on the live cast. Hello.
Hello, Pat. How are you? This is Mike from Brooklyn.
How's it going, Mike?
How you doing?
Doing good. What can I do for you?
Just to keep up with the Rumble talk. I was reading a little earlier on that AJ Styles will be in Orlando, and he will be backstage, after Raw and SmackDown taping. Like, what's the chances of him, appearing in the Rumble?
I have a feeling that, with a lot of Vince McMahon decisions, this is going to be last minute, because I know the original plan was to do something with the Bullet Club and have that be more of an NXT thing, but WWE is so shorthanded on top right now, it doesn't make that much sense to leave to have AJ Styles and Nakamura sitting out. I know that AJ's going to be in Orlando, but the entire roster has been, you got all the NXT people are already in Orlando, and the entire roster has been told to show up just in case they're needed. So, my guess is that they hold AJ off of the Rumble, or they have him appear on the Rumble but not wrestle, and that they actually have him debut on Raw in Miami because that's really the kickoff of WrestleMania season. So that would be my guess as to what they're going to do. Or they could just be bringing him down because NXT tapes on Friday in Orlando. So we're going to know. We're going to know probably by Saturday morning whether they're planning to bring him right to NXT.
Right. And my second question is, do you think? Me personally, it's a program to me that doesn't need to sign with Hunter and Roman. But I just got a feeling that, they're going to let him do the whole one versus all and last from number one. But I think Hunter will come in, like we said, at number 30 and win. Like, do you see, we know how Vince's mind works, and do you see any last-minute changes?
One of the things that happens sometimes with WWE is if they see, they keep tabs of what the Vegas odds are. If they see that it looks, if they see that a lot of people think that Triple H is going to come out and come in last and screw, Reigns out of the Rumble, and they think everybody has picked up on that, they'll change it just to surprise people. Now, again, this is something where even people, if that's the direction you want to go in, though, you would do it whether people have guessed it's coming or not. And since Roman just got the title last month, there's a school of thought that you don't want to have him get screwed out of it again, that soon after, especially after you just did it on the last month's paper.
Yeah. But what if they try to do something, different and make him, he'll win? And then all of a sudden, just come out and face, he won a Royal Rumble, and now he's got to defend the title winner in a regular match and stuff like that. And also, my last question is that, what do you see as, the top five, from your opinion, the top five matches for Mania this year? That's what I have.
Okay, top five matches for what? For what? For Mania or for?
For WrestleMania.
Okay, that's fine, Mike. Let's see. All right. If I were doing it, I would probably do Reigns against Lesnar. Yeah, the whole Undertaker thing is problematic because you don't have John Cena. I think I would actually go Undertaker versus Sheamus because Sheamus is going to be on there some way. You know, nobody's going to be rooting against the Undertaker. People will be thrilled when Undertaker kills him. Let's see. Now, that leaves a lot of other questions though. Let's see. Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton. That's a possibility. I want to say, geez. Let's see. You could do Jericho versus Ambrose, I suppose.
Or AJ versus Bryan.
Well, if Bryan's coming back, I mean, I have a feeling if Bryan's coming back, they're going to stick him with Kevin Owens at WrestleMania. I honestly think that. But if they're not, I mean, AJ versus Kevin Owens would work. And another thing that would work if they're serious about going with Hunter against Roman Reigns, you could do Brock Lesnar versus Nakamura. You've got enough time to set him up.
That would be the show stealer of the pay per view.
Yeah.
That would be the show stealer.
Okay. All right, well, I mean, make it quick. You need three questions, but make it quick.
The Dudleys, like, what are they doing? Did they just bring them back to be, you know, to job them out?
I think they're done with whatever the idea they had for them.
All right, thanks,
Okay, Mike drops off that up at the line for you, 646-721-9828, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. Let's keep rolling. I got to say, though, coming up in about 38 minutes, 6:30 Eastern, you'll want to tune into the East Coast Cast, hosted by Travis Bryant and Bardre Purnell. On most of these blog talk radio stations, go to eastcoastcast.com to listen live. Parental discretion is advised. Because I mentioned at the top of the show, tomorrow, Wade Keller interviews Sean Waltman. Whenever Sean Waltman comes on, you learn a lot, and it's a very entertaining interview. So look forward to that. Next week on this program, we will welcome two of our favorites from the Wednesday live cast. Jim Valley, who I do the Wayback Playback Show with, is coming on. And we're going to have Scotty Riggs on, too, and a lot of Scotty Riggs fans. I'm sure he'll want to talk about what's happened. It's probably going to be a very eventful weekend here in wrestling, and I'm sure he'll have a lot to say about that. So Jim Valley and Scotty Riggs with us next Wednesday. Let's go to the 347 area code. 347, please state your name and town. You're on the live cast. Hello.
What's up, Jonathan from New York?
Jonathan? All right.
Yeah, Jonathan from New York.
Okay. How you doing, Jonathan?
Doing yourself. I got two questions.
Sure.
Do you think it would be a great idea for them to just, let's say, for Triple H to win at the Rumble and then set up a number one contender for between Roman and Brock at Fastlane, and I don't know where there's some type of the qualification and they can make it a triple threat at WrestleMania, or someone can interfere
That is an interesting idea. The problem is, you know, a lot of purists don't like the idea of triple threat matches because generally you have, unless you're doing it very well, you got one guy standing around while two guys are wrestling. That's a consideration. That's something I hadn't thought about that might work. Let's see. I know Wade Keller's idea was to have somebody like Sami Zayn or AJ Styles win the Rumble and then do Reigns and Triple H as a separate match, you know, outside of, not for the title, and have Lesnar face with whoever the new champion is. And Bruce Mitchell's idea, in case you hadn't read it, in last week's Torch newsletter, or actually it was on the Bruce Mitchell audio, I think, was to do Roman Reigns and The Rock against Brock Lesnar and Triple H, if The Rock is going to wrestle at WrestleMania, that's a great idea. I haven't heard anything that would indicate that he's going to do that, though. I mean, obviously, if Rock was wrestling at WrestleMania, that changes everything. The main issue I'd have with doing Lesnar and Roman Reigns is you know, I mean, you're doing it on Fastlane, which is not one of your major pay-per-views. But I mean, it'll be a great match, and you know, it'll be a way to keep everybody's attention. I just think that you want the better match on WrestleMania, and with all respect to Triple H, you know, Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns is going to be a better match.
Okay. Hello.
All right. Yeah. Anything else?
Okay. I got one more thing.
Sure.
I heard that Hulk Hogan is in talks with the WWE, and I seriously, my honest opinion about this is like I think it's better for WWE just to stay away from him, because for some reason if they break the record, like attendance record from WrestleMania 3. I think he's going to go all over social media and say that he was the reason why they broke the record. And,
of course he's going to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'd rather him stay away from him. Stay away from the past, you know. Focus on the present than the future. You know, that's embarrassing. Thanks, Pat.
Hey, no problem. Thank you, Jonathan. Jonathan drops off, and that opens up a line for you at 646-721-9828. PW Torch Livecast at gmail.com is the other way to reach us. Let's see if let's see how we're doing on Twitter here. If we have any new updates on, Caldwell put up a poll. James put up a poll as to who's going to win the Royal Rumble, and let me just go to the website here. See how we're doing. What do we got here? The poll is who do you think will win? Roman Reigns, another main roster star, a surprise star, or a McMahon? And I, you know, for these purposes, I would probably count Triple H as a McMahon. But let's see this here. You know what? There we go. I'm just going to cast a vote and see what happens. 28% of you think, actually 34% think it will be a surprise or a returning star that wins the Royal Rumble, and that is in the lead. Let's see, 28, and this is hard to do because you only have so many options on the Twitter polls. 28% of you think it's Roman Reigns. 26% of you think it's a other main roster star. I guess that would include Brock Lesnar, and 12% think it's a McMahon. I don't know. I know Joel asked the question whether it's Triple H or whether Triple H is a McMahon or a member of the main roster. All right, we got enough time for, I think, one more call. We're going to go to the 409 area code. 409, please state your name and town. You're on the live cast. Hello.
Yes, this is Fred from Anaheim.
How you doing, Fred?
I'm doing good. Three comments. One comment. Comment. I think Boris is hilarious, but that the question about the lower card, you know, with Eugene on the phone, I thought was just a bit disrespectful, and it seemed like that's the reason why I got off the phone. You know, so, that was not cool, but, you know, that's that. Anyways, second question would be, do you still think the Ronda Rousey and Stephanie McMahon pairing will happen at WrestleMania? And then the third question is, who is your dream match between somebody who has yet to debut in WWE and somebody that's already on the main roster? Thank you.
Okay. All right. I think I'm going to stick with Brock Lesnar versus Nakamura. I think that would be fun as the dream match. I think with Ronda Rousey, the question is, you know, we already know that UFC is not going to let Ronda Rousey wrestle while she's under contract. The question is there going to be something where it would be appropriate for Ronda to be at ringside? Let's say, for example, that it's Roman Reigns versus Triple H, and Stephanie is in Triple H's corner. Does Ronda come out in Roman Reigns' corner? Or do you have The Rock do that? I think that it would be okay for her to do another bit where she where, you know, Ronda gets the best of Stephanie McMahon. I think that would be fine. Assuming they don't use Holly Holm for that, of course. Let's see. Yeah, I think that's good. Okay, folks, that is coming up on the end of the hour. I'd like to thank everybody who checked in. I'd like to thank Eugene for being by, Nick Dinsmore. His show is this Friday. Go to MidwestAllPro.com for all that stuff. Of course, Wade Keller has Tom Altman on tomorrow. We'll be back next Wednesday with our good friends Jim Valley and Scotty Riggs. And the Rumble is this Sunday. James and Greg will be doing the post-game show immediately following about 11:30 Eastern, so be sure to check that out right here on PW Torch Livecast. We will rejoin you next week. Same Pat time, same Pat channel. Until then, good night, everybody.
Well, there you have it, folks. Another happy ending from the good people at Jimmy James Incorporated.
But the most amazing thing to me is I get paid for doing this.
You suck it. You can suck it. Suck it.
Suck it.
Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.